I invite you to open your Bible tonight to the book of Zechariah, chapter 7. Zechariah, chapter 7. Let's stand together that we might honor the reading of God's word. Zechariah chapter 7, then it came about in the fourth year of King Darius that the word of the Lord came to Zechariah on the fourth day of the ninth month, which is Kislev. Now the town of Bethel had sent Sherezer and Regemelech and their men to seek the favor of the Lord, speaking to the priests who belong to the house of the Lord of hosts and to the prophets, saying, "Shall I weep in the fifth month and abstain as I have done these many years?" Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, "Say to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months, these 70 years, was it actually for me that you fasted? When you eat and drink, do you not eat for yourselves and do you not drink for yourselves? Are not these the words which the Lord proclaimed by the former prophets when Jerusalem was inhabited and prosperous along with its cities around it, and the Negev and the foothills were inhabited?" Then the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, "Thus has the Lord of hosts said, dispense true justice and practice kindness and compassion each to his brother, and do not oppress the widow or the orphan, the stranger or the poor, and do not devise evil in your hearts against one another." But they refused to pay attention and turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears from hearing. They made their hearts like flint so that they could not hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Therefore, great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. And it came about that just as he called and they would not listen, so they called and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with a storm wind among all the nations whom they have not known. Thus the land is desolated behind them, so that no one went back and forth, for they made the pleasant land desolate. Lord, tonight may we hear the burden of the prophet Zechariah, the burden to be hearing your word, believing your word, obeying your word, and not being sidetracked by ritual, by legalistic or religious inventions of our own making. Lord, may we have heart communion with you and with each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Zechariah chapter 7 deals with something that is a major issue, seriously major issue of the Old Testament prophets, of all of them. The issue is this. People tend to do outward things, rituals, even outward religious things, but they don't have heart communion with God. They don't have heart communion with each other as well. But they're doing these outward rituals. You may have heard it from people. I've certainly heard more than my share of it as a pastor over many years. People say, well, I go to church and I go to the church I go to because, and then you just never know what you're going to hear. I go to the church I go to because they recite the Lord's Prayer every Sunday morning. Do you know it was never commanded in the Bible to recite the Lord's Prayer? In fact, Jesus' teaching about the Lord's Prayer was that you should not recite prescribed prayers. That's ritualistic. Well, I go to the church that I go to because they recite the Ten Commandments every Sunday, or the Apostles' Creed, or some other creed. That's why I go to that church. I go to that church because that's where I had my baby baptized. I go to that church because they light candles and create just the right mood in the room. I go to that church because I like the music style. Do you know there is no music style taught or commanded in the Bible? None. Neither are you commanded to light candles or baptize babies or any of those things. Well, I go to that church because I like the time of the services. I go to that church because they wave palms on Palm Sunday. Now, the opposite way that a lot of people are saying it is, and I won't go to your church because you guys don't wave palms. And you guys don't light enough candles. And you guys don't do those things that I like. But none of those things have anything to do with obedience to the Word of God or a heart for God. Not one of those things. They are outward, man-made, religious rituals that have zero biblical significance. Zero. Now, that's the problem that's being addressed in Zechariah chapter 7. And let's look and see if we can see how this relates. Zechariah chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. There is a question that's being asked. And we'll get to what that is. Verse 1 gives you the time of the question. The time of the question is the fourth day of the ninth month in the fourth year of King Darius. Now, what is that? So that you don't have to figure it out or look it up, I'll give it to you. That day is December 7th, 518 BC. On that day, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah. The timing is significant because Zechariah's prophetic ministry began, chapter 1, verse 1, in October or November of 520 BC. Zechariah's eight visions in one night, chapter 1, verse 7, occurred on February 14th, 519 BC. This makes this question coming to Zechariah, chapter 7, verse 1, a little over 2 years after Zechariah began his prophetic ministry, and not quite 2 years after he had the eight visions in one night. So that gives you the timing of this. Verse 1 also tells us who is going to be the answerer of the question. The answerer will be Zechariah. The word of the Lord came to Zechariah. Zechariah will be the one who gives the answer. Verse 2, the askers of the question are men from Bethel. Sherezer and Regemmelech, two men from Bethel. Bethel is probably just a little less than 12 miles north of Jerusalem. Ezra chapter 2 verse 28, which we won't look at tonight, but that verse says that 223 exiles from Babylon had returned to Bethel and settled there. So it's two of those who are now coming to Jerusalem. And Bethel had been known, even prior to the exile, for its idolatry. We won't belabor that point tonight, but it's true. Known for idolatry. Now, the motive of the question, the end of verse 2, it says, to seek the favor of the Lord. Now that sounds like a good thing, doesn't it? They came from Bethel to Jerusalem to the temple that is now nearly finished, and they came to seek the favor of the Lord. Well, it sounds good, but as we will see as we move along, here's what they were really seeking. Were they seeking the favor of the Lord? Yes, but they were seeking the favor of the Lord on them just the way they were. That is, they were seeking the favor of the Lord on their outward rituals. It would be like saying, Lord, bless me because I lit a candle. I'm seeking your favor. So that's the motive, and that'll make more sense in just a moment. The receivers of the question, the beginning of verse 3, were the priests who belonged to the house of the Lord, that is, the priests in the now rebuilt temple that is nearly finished, and it's open, and there are priests ministering in the temple. And two prophets, of whom Zechariah would have been one of those. So they receive the question, the priests and the prophets. Now, the content of the question, the rest of verse 3. What is the question? The question is, shall I weep in the fifth month and abstain or fast as I have done these many years? Fasting in the fifth month. Hey, priests and prophets, we want the Lord's favor. Why? We have fasted in the fifth month for 70 years. So surely God ought to show us favor and bless us because of our fasting. That's what they're asking. Now, the fast of the fifth month, you see it in verse 3. The fast of the fifth month and the fifth month is the month of Av, and the fast occurred on the ninth of Av. And by the way, the fast on the ninth of Av is still practiced and recognized by Jewish people, especially Orthodox Jews, to this day, to now. It's called Tisha B'Av. Maybe you've heard of it. Tisha B'Av, the ninth of Av. The fast of the ninth of Av in the fifth month marked the destruction of the first temple by Nebuchadnezzar in 586 BC. So why do they fast in the fifth month? They are remembering when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the temple in Jerusalem. Now, is that a good thing to fast on the ninth of Av? Well, it's probably not necessarily a bad thing. But here's the question, and Zechariah is going to keep coming back to it. Here's the question. Did God ever command Israel or anybody to fast in the fifth month on the ninth of Av? And the answer to that is no. You won't find it anywhere in the Bible. God never told them to do that, and he never told them to do it through any of the prophets either. Well, then, why are they doing it? The answer is they made it up. By the way, that's the way most religious rituals are, aren't they? They're not commanded in the Bible. Somebody made it up. They made up a fast in the fifth month, the ninth of Av, and they kept it every year for 70 years. And now their question is, should we continue to do this now that the temple has been rebuilt, is open, and it's nearly finished? Should we keep remembering the destruction of the first temple by Nebuchadnezzar? And I suppose they're hoping somebody will tell them, well, no, you don't have to keep doing that. But they also want to know that they are being blessed for doing it for 70 years. Now, we'll just peek ahead to verse 5 that mentions also a fast in the seventh month. The fast in the seventh month was when Gedaliah, the last, sometimes called the puppet king, governor of Judea, was assassinated. And so in the seventh month, they fasted, marking the assassination of Gedaliah, and it's called in Judaism the fast of Gedaliah in the seventh month. So we'll get to that. Shouldn't we get some credit for fasting and mourning for 70 years on these months, the fifth and seventh months? Don't we get some reward, some blessing for that? That is their question. So think about it. Don't I get some blessing for waving palms on Palm Sunday? Don't I get some favor of God for lighting candles? Don't I get something out of it for reciting the right things at the right time in church? Hey, I know when to stand up, I know when to sit down, I know when to kneel, I know when to recite the creed. Boy, don't I get some credit for that? I've done it my whole life. Isn't there some grace in that? Isn't there some favor of God in that for me? Verses 4 through 7, the answer. What's the answer to the question? Notice in verse 4, it's Zechariah who answers. And he answers with the word of God. The word of the Lord of hosts came to me. By the way, if you're asking a question, that is where you want to get the answer from, isn't it? The Word of God. Notice that all the priests and the other prophets didn't answer them. Why? They didn't know the answer. They didn't have any answer to give. They didn't have anything to say. But Zechariah did. Why? Because the word of the Lord came to him. He had the word. Notice at the beginning of verse 5, Zechariah answers. He's told not just to answer the two men from Bethel, but to say this to whom? All the people and to the priests. Answer them all. Because these two men aren't the only ones who don't know. None of the people know. The priests don't even know. So Zechariah answers them all. And Zechariah answers with three other questions. Do you like it when people do that? Answer your question with a question. By the way, Jesus did it quite a lot. Zechariah answers their question with three other questions. Here's the first one in verse 5. When you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month, these 70 years, was it actually for me that you fasted? Was this really for the Lord? Now, we've already pointed out, the Lord never commanded it. The Lord never commanded a fast in the fifth month or the seventh month. There's only one commanded fast day in the whole Old Testament for Israel. Only one. That day is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. You can find it in Leviticus 16:29 and Leviticus 23:27, 29, and 32. If God didn't command the fast days in the fifth month and the seventh month, were they actually fasting for the Lord or for themselves? Was this something the Lord wanted to see them do? And the answer to that is, the Lord never said so. They invented these other fast days. Well, why did they do that? They did it for their own feelings, their own purposes. They certainly didn't do it because the Word of God told them to. See, you can do all kinds of rituals and religious things, and if the Word of God doesn't tell you to do them, what are you doing? And the answer is, you're not doing anything for God. Well, then why am I doing it? You're doing it for yourself. Their feelings about the destruction of the temple and having to go into exile, why were they fasting? They were hoping that because of it, they would feel better. They had other purposes. They wanted to get the results and the relief they wanted. We want the temple back. We don't want to be in Babylon anymore. We want out of here. Now, hadn't the Lord already told them how long they were going to be in captivity in Babylon? Hadn't he? Yeah, 70 years. Well, but if we fast and pray harder, we'll get released sooner. No, you won't. But I really want it, and I'm praying hard. Doesn't matter. God said 70 years, and that's it. You're not going to change it. So they weren't fasting out of obedience to God or for the Lord at all. They were fasting for themselves and their own purposes and their own desires. Second question Zechariah asks in verse 6, When you eat and drink, do you not eat for yourselves and do you not drink for yourselves? Okay, we've already answered. When you fast, that's for yourselves. Well, what about when you feast? What about the feast days? What about the Feast of Tabernacles? What about Passover? Are you eating the feasts for the Lord or for yourselves? And the answer is implied in the question. They're doing it for themselves. They don't fast for the Lord, and they don't eat for the Lord either. It's all for them. It's all about them. When they feast and they keep the commanded feasts of the Lord, they are doing it as hypocrites. They're not doing it to honor God and commune with God. They're doing it to get something out of it. Oh, well, I didn't like that church service because I didn't get anything out of it. Oh, so is that about God or is that about you? The problem with that is not the church service and it's not God and it's not the Bible. The problem with that is you. Third question, verse 7. Are not these the words which the Lord proclaimed by the former prophets when Jerusalem was inhabited and prosperous along with the cities around it and the Negev and the foothills were inhabited? Didn't the former prophets tell you all of this already? And the answer is, yes, they did. They told you this even before the Babylonian captivity, even before the exile, when you were still living in the land and everything was going great. Isaiah and Jeremiah told you all of this. You know this. You were told. It is a major theme of the Old Testament prophets. Well, what does that look like? Keep your place here in Zechariah and look with me at the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1, starting at verse 11. Isaiah 1:11. What are your multiplied sacrifices to me? Says the Lord. I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle, and I take no pleasure in the blood of bulls, lambs, or goats. What's the Lord saying? Your hypocrisy, doing the outward rituals, but your heart is far from God. That hypocrisy, the Lord says, I'm sick of it. says, you come and you make all these sacrifices. God says, I'm sick of your sacrifices. I've had enough. I take no pleasure in them. Isaiah 1:12, when you come to appear before me, who requires of you this trampling of my courts? And the Lord's point is, I don't require it of you. So who's requiring it of you? Bring your worthless offerings no longer, verse 13. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity and the solemn assembly. The Lord's not saying he hates their assembly. The Lord is saying he hates it when hypocrites assemble together and do outward things like feasts and fasts and festivals and sacrifices and holidays, and they do all of those things, but they're only doing it as an outward show. God says, I can't endure it. It's iniquity. In the solemn assembly, you come together, we might say, for the church service, and the church service is filled with religious hypocrites. It's filled with iniquity, and God hates it. Well, but at least I go to church. Okay. Verse 14, Isaiah 1:14. I hate your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. All of these things, you call them celebrations, God says, they wear me out. Now, you know, that's quite an accomplishment to wear God out, isn't it? So, verse 15, when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood. It says, you outward religious hypocrites, God says, I'm not listening or answering your prayers. Verse 16, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, reprove the ruthless, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as wool. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. Truly, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Yahweh is quite serious about this. You either get your worship with a right heart or quit doing it. And if you keep on doing it hypocritically, what's going to happen? You are going to be wiped out. Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. Beginning in verse 3. Yet they seek me day by day and delight to know my ways as a nation that has done righteousness and has not forsaken the ordinance of their God. They ask me for just decisions. They delight in the nearness of God. They were saying, we're close to God. We want the right things. The Lord leads us. But verse 3, why have we fasted and you do not see? Well, we're doing the right things. We're close to God. But Lord, we're fasting and it just seems like you don't even see it. Why have we humbled ourselves and you do not notice? Behold, on the day of your fast, you find your desire and drive hard all your workers. On your fast days, you still do what you want, and you don't let your workers fast. You drive them harder. Hey, I'm taking the day off and fasting, so you work for me, so you do double work. Verse 4, behold, you fast for contention and strife and to strike with a wicked fist. You do not fast like you do today to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast like this which I choose? A day for a man to humble themselves? Is it for bowing one's head like a reed and for spreading out sackcloth and ashes as a bed? Will you call this a fast, even an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast which I have chosen? What's the Lord saying? A true fast is not just going through outward ritual, expecting that you're going to get what you want to get out of it. A true fast is what? Verse 6. To loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke, to divide your bread with the hungry, to bring the homeless poor into your house, to cover the naked, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light will break out like dawn. When you desire these right things, your recovery will speedily spring forth. Your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, and if you give yourself to the hungry, satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light will rise in darkness, and your gloom will become like midday. And the Lord will continually guide you, satisfy your desire in scorched places, give strength to your bones. You will be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. You will raise up the age-old foundations, and you will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets in which to dwell. Did Isaiah tell Israel about the dangers of hypocritical ritual practices, including fasting? Isaiah told them, if you fast for the wrong reasons, with the wrong heart, God will not hear you and answer your prayer. But if you fast for him with the right heart, God will hear and answer. Isaiah said that before the exile. Zechariah is saying to them, look, you already know the answer to this question. God isn't going to give you any favor because you fasted in the fifth and seventh month. Why? Because he never told you to do it, and you're not doing it for him anyway. He's not giving you any favor. He's not saying, well, I should be blessed because I fasted. No, you shouldn't, you hypocrite. So that's Zechariah's answer. Whoa, how do you like that for an answer? Verses 8 through 14. Then in Zechariah 7 are the explanation of this answer. Verses 8 through 12 are the explanation of why Yahweh does not favor them. Yahweh does not favor them, even though they've been fasting. He doesn't favor them. Why? They should have been listening to the word. Through the prophets, not doing hypocritical rituals. But they refused. This is verse 8, the word of the Lord. Verse 11, the Lord tells them this. They refused to pay attention and turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears from hearing. Okay? God is speaking to them. And when God is speaking to them, what do? They turn like this and they stick their fingers in their ears. They turn their back to God and they plug their ears so they cannot hear anything God is saying. Today, people don't plug their ears so much. They just fill their ears with so much noise that they can't hear God. I don't want to hear God. Turn the music up a little bit louder. I don't want to hear God. Give me other things to hear. Verse 12, they made their hearts like flint so that they could not hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. By the way, verse 12 is a great word about the words of the former prophets, like Isaiah and Jeremiah. What are the words of the book of Isaiah? They are the words given by God, by the Holy Spirit. It says that here. By the Holy Spirit to the prophets. Isaiah is the inspired, inerrant word of God. It says so here. The words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Well, what did Israel do? They hardened their hearts as hard as stone, as hard as flint, so that they could not hear the words. So that they could not hear. That's why Yahweh does not favor them. Are they interested in hearing from God? No. Are they interested in hearing the word of God? No. They're just interested in doing some little outward activity and then believing that God will bless them for it. The Lord says, no, no blessing for you. Well, in his word, Yahweh was calling them to hear and obey the word. And there are 12 statements in verses 9 through 12. And it's interesting how these 12 statements correspond to the passages we read in Isaiah. Zechariah is saying the same thing. What is the Lord calling you to hear and obey? Dispense true justice, verse 9. Practice brotherly kindness. Practice brotherly compassion, loving care for widows, loving care for orphans, loving care for strangers, that is foreigners, loving care for the poor among them, do not devise evil against one another? Wow, do you know? They could be at one of their feasts, one of their solemn assemblies, going through the outward rituals, and at the same time hatching a plot to do harm to another guy. You say, oh, how terrible. Okay, but do you know there are people who sit here in the church service and that's what they're doing? They're devising evil plans against other people while they're sitting in church. The Lord says, don't do that. Verse 11, stop refusing to pay attention. You're refusing. Well, stop that. Stop turning a stubborn shoulder. Open your ears to hear the word. Stop hardening your hearts so that you cannot hear. The Lord says, if you'll hear this and obey this, then we can talk about favor. Then we can talk about what's a true fast and what isn't. But until you get this stuff right, you are just blowing religious smoke out your nose. And the explanation is not only of why they don't have God's favor. It's also an explanation, the rest of verse 12 through verse 14, of why Yahweh brought wrath upon them. Verse 12, great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. Now, this wrath, and wrath is anger. It's the Lord's anger. But understand, God's wrath, his anger, is always loving. He's pouring this out on them for their benefit long term. Now, how does the Lord show this wrath? Verse 13, he refused to listen to them. Why? He called on them, they wouldn't listen to him. So when they called on him, he won't listen to them. You're not listening to me when I talk. I'm not listening to you when you talk. What is that? See, often wrath, the wrath of God, is just God conceding to give them what they want. You want to be left alone and not hear from me? Great. You're left alone and you won't hear from me. And guess what? I don't want to hear from you either. Do you know when God does not want to hear from you, that's a problem. That's a big problem. Because God delights in hearing the prayers of his people. So if God doesn't want to hear a prayer from you, you must have something really, really wrong going on inside of you that God doesn't even want to listen. That's wrath of God. That's just God leaving you to yourself and your own devices. God's wrath is also shown, verse 14, by scattering them among the nations, which God had promised in Deuteronomy he would do to them if they didn't obey. Scattered them among the nations. And God showed his wrath in that he allowed them to desolate their land. The end of verse 14, the land is desolate. Why? For they made the pleasant land desolate. The beautiful, pleasant, promised land. As they were taken into exile, God allowed them to make the land desolate. Part of God's wrath will be to let you destroy everything that you've made. Let you destroy everything that you've built. You make it desolate, but God allows it. Why? Because in his wrath, he just takes his hand of blessing and protection off of you and leaves you to your own devices. You say, well, but I'm a whole lot smarter than that. The Lord says, okay, then you figure it out and see where that gets you. And it's not good. What the Lord desires is what Isaiah said, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they will be white as snow. That you will have a cleansed heart, communing with God, longing to hear his word, and then he fills the things of your life, even fasting, with meaning and benefit, grace and glory. But apart from a cleansed heart, you're just a hypocrite. You can light all the candles, listen to the music you like, wave all the palms, do all of those outward things, and you're not right with God. So be right before God. That's the